ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am the host of the show. I am happy and excited that you're here with us today. Going to have a great show. Really going to dive into this reintegration. Oh, good Lord, I can't even read my own writing. Reintegration, reimagining, and rebirth. I'm going to have a wonderful conversation with Dr. Shelley Kerr. She's here to join us again. I'll tell you a little bit about her in just a moment. If you haven't met her before on the show, extraordinary guest, a past life lady, has just published a new book, and we'll talk about that as well. So this topic today, near and dear, I think, to both of our hearts as we, and all of us out there, as we begin to step back out into the world, a world that is radically changed, I think, from what we remember it from a year ago or a year and a half ago, however long it's been now. And while it seems like it should be a pretty smooth sailing kind of thing, I think many of us are experiencing this sense of strangeness as we move into the world, this sense of how do we operate now? What do we do now? How do we engage now? And so we wanted to really kind of focus into that in a way that we can provide some tools, some insights, and also just to share the experiences, because I think we all are kind of going through versions of it. And, you know, this somewhat, Mike and I went on a road trip recently, and, you know, some of the interactions that we're having, things that we're doing, feeling a little odd, a little strange as we're reintegrating kind of into society, and also making different choices about that. So this is going to be a fun conversation, an interesting conversation, and hopefully we'll be able to provide you some tools to help with this process of how to view this time, how to kind of step into this newness in a way that is solid and grounded, as grounded as you can possibly be in the process of having to create anew, because really that's where we're going. So we're going to get into all that and all the ins and outs of that, and I'm excited to have this conversation with Shelley today. So relax and enjoy the show. Thank you for being here. If you like the show, please subscribe or like, hit the like buttons, whatever you got to do, wherever you are. We are live on E360 TV. We're live on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and just looking forward to a great show. So we'll see you on the other side of the break, and we'll get ready to dive in. Here we go. All right. Welcome back. Fearsachoicebook.com. Please check it out. I am so excited. I just recently, wrong side here. You can see here I was awarded as a finalist in the international book competition. Very excited about that in the spirituality category. But more importantly, I want to just talk for a quick second about the book. Fears of Choice is a powerful book from my perspective because it helps to change your relationship with fear. And for me, this whole time, and really what we're going to talk about today, this reintegration process, is all about addressing the fears, the concerns, not only from before, but stuff that has evolved to now as the messaging has still been fraught with fear and anxiety and things that are not necessarily about health and wellness. And I'm not trying to make any kind of political statement. I'm just stating what I experience in the world. And so it's become incumbent on all of us to step up in a new way, to step into our lives in a new way. And I think Fear is a Choice book helps us do that. Fear is a Choice unravels these illusions that we carry about who we are, what we are, and why we are in this world. And it helps you to understand the evolution of fear through the human experience and then how we have adopted that and how we've integrated that into our experience so that we operate more out of a fear-based experience instead of an opportunity-based one. So fearisachoicebook.com, check it out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed, and I think you'll find it very impactful. Lots of good reviews, also videos and testimonials that you can check out on the website, and all of the links to ordering the book are also there. So www.fearisachoicebook.com. Thank you very much, and we'll see you right after the break to talk about My World is Good. Here we go. All right, My World is Good. Here we are, the year of conscious creation. I'm still pumping this baby, and it's been 7 months going, and I'm so excited about it because every day I see change. Every day I see something new and different in my world. And every day I look for ways to amp up the experience because as I focus into the goodness of the world, that energy emanates from me and to and around and into my world. And I encourage that for you. 7.5 billion unique sparks, unique worlds inhabiting this one planet. And each of us has a particular focus. And the reason I say that, and particularly about our individual worlds, is because nobody can live our lives for us. Nobody can create our lives for us. No one can change our lives for us. We have to be involved in that process because we are the creators. So My World is Good as a way that we can create an energy. We can all consciously choose an energy, this neutral, positive energy. My world is good. And just be in the space of that energy. My world is good. You don't have to manufacture anything in this process. You simply focus into that energy. You focus your intention and appreciation into something in your world, anything in your world, and just bring that energy forward. My world is good. And as we do this individually, and as we do this collectively, we begin to build a powerful force of energy, a powerful force of goodness in the mass consciousness that begins to create a tipping point for change in that direction. Being able to move into a world full of more goodness and less fear, meaning not connected to that fear-based consciousness, but surrendering that to the goodness that is always here. But we choose to put our attention to other things. So My World is Good. It's a great process. It doesn't require anything but your energy, your attention, and your intention. Focus into My World is Good and let yourself be overwhelmed by the goodness that surrounds you. Because as you do this, your perception changes. And your perception changes because your beliefs begin to change, because the interior is beginning to evolve. And so the perception that you have is the reflection of that. And the more that you engage it and we engage it together, the more we move into that energy and the more we create more positively and more powerfully. So My World is Good. 10 times in the morning, when you come back into your body, I find it's an amazing time to do that because you can just focus all of that amazing coalescing energy inside of you and just poof, create an amazing day for yourself and an amazing world that other people can be impacted by. So My World is Good. Look for it all over the place on social media. Love to hear your stories about how it's impacted you and love to hear more of the ways that you're using this amazing process to change your world. So we'll be right back with Shelley and we'll get the show kicked off. Thanks, guys. All right, here we go. And whoops, where am I at here? Whoops. Shelley is coming on. For two decades, Shelley ACARE, PhD, has worked with thousands of people around the world, helping them achieve greater peace and happiness in their lives. A world-renowned past life regressionist, Dr. Shelley's method of combining energy work with hypnosis has been endorsed by numerous leaders in the field of consciousness, including near-death experience pioneer Dr. Raymond Moody and Dr. Brian Weiss. She received a doctorate in philosophy in parapsychic science from the American Institute of Holistic Theology in 2001, and I am excited to call her friend and call her co-host today. Welcome to Shelley Care. Hi, Shelley.
Jim, what's up? It's awesome to see you.
You as well. So we are going to have an interesting conversation today. Whoops, I'm still got to go down a little further here. Here we go. Reintegration, reimagining, and rebirth. You'd think things would calm down a little.
Oh my gosh. No, they're gone into hyperwarp.
It's extraordinary to me that living in this day and age, you think, I mean, all through my life, okay, so 56 years, there's been a lot going on in the world. Nothing compares to what we are experiencing in such a profound way. And so I'm excited to have this conversation because I think we both made every effort to walk this as consciously as possible and to take from it the benefits and how we can most successfully navigate this. And that's exciting to me because a lot of people have been struggling with that. And I'm hopeful that today we can share some of that. And trust me when I say, guys, I say that not that, oh, look at us, we're all doing great. We are doing well, but it's not been easy. And please don't misconstrue my enthusiasm for ease.
I second that. Thank you, Jim. Yes, please. Let us share. Okay. Yes. And you'll know we're all in the same boat.
We are. And it's an extraordinary boat and one that we can support each other in making this transition much more successful. And that's what my hope is. And I'm sure it is with Shelley's, with all the amazing work that you do. What would you like to say as an intro here before we get started about your experience of this new world that we're stepping back into?
I got to give a shout out to Fear is a Choice book. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Yeah. I love your book, as you know.
Thank you, Shelley.
And just in case there's someone out there who doesn't realize that, I'm just putting it out there. Because I mean,
deeply appreciated.
Yes, we were, you know, think about where we were in like February of 2020. We had plans, we had stuff to do, we had a booked schedule, and then all of a sudden there was nothing. And so now we're coming back into this place where, you know, we're being asked to go out in public, and everyone, when you do go out, you see everyone reacting totally differently. Some are all scared. Some haven't been out of the house. Other people are just running around hugging everyone and everything in between. And I think it's just been a really strange time. And as you mentioned at the open, to your point, it isn't exactly how it used to be. Man. You know, we've stepped into a brave new world. I think a lot of things got brought up during this time, including the fact that we were having to sit by ourselves and actually be with ourselves. And,
yes,
you know, a lot of people, I think, had a super hard time with that because they'd never had that happen to them before. Mm-hmm. I had that happen a long time ago, and I'm thankful for that. But I know that it was incredibly painful and difficult, and it continues to be painful as we're all trying to navigate. Is this safe to go out? Is it not? And how am I going to show up in that? And so all of that. And again, I totally concur. Just because we're sitting here, we're going through these things too. It's been a weird ride, and we're doing it together. And that's awesome.
Yeah, truly that. And I love everything you said about that. And where really it comes down to what it has forced us to do is to stand in front of the mirror, really. And how willing have we been to stand there or be in the space of self? And again, hopefully we can help to bridge that gap if you're struggling to the point that you're not being able to make that connection. I hope that today we can help you bridge that gap, or at least be able to understand that the dots and the experiences that you're having you're not in a vacuum, that there are lots of us out here who are going through this, and there's lots of love and support for all of us here as long as we are all focused in the same direction. And what I mean by that is that we're focused in let's embrace this as best we can. And sometimes it's hard to know how to do that. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do a moment of focus, which is what I love to do at the beginning of the show to kind of bring us all together here. So Shelley, we'll see you in just a sec. We'll be right back, and we're going to carry on with that. Great back. Okay. Moment of focus. Take a deep breath, if you would, please, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And this is one of the, this to me is we're doing this little meditation as a part of, you know, me putting my money where my mouth is and saying, you know, I believe a daily practice is significant and important. And you'll find that that's true as we talk about this topic today as well. So I like to do this on the show to bring our energy together. I believe very strongly in where two or more are gathered, and the belief that the more energy we generate together, the more powerful we are, similar to my world is good and, you know, those types of things. So as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, just let your body relax into the place that you're in at this moment, whether you're sitting or standing or laying down. Of course, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes, but continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, you begin to feel the layers of tension or stress begin to relax in your field, in your energy, in your body. Just begin to become aware of that, keeping your awareness in the breath as you inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth. Become aware of your breathing pattern. Just for this moment, be aware, how do you breathe? Do you breathe? Do you find breathing through the nose as a challenge? Do you find you breathe in the upper chest? Do you find that you breathe in the lower lobes? Do you breathe into your belly? How do you breathe? Do you breathe into your back? Just be aware of your breath and how it's moving through your body. Remember, breath is all about life force. It's about chi, it's prana. It is the energy that animates us, that brings life. So every breath is a moment of new creation because we bring in new energy with every breath and we release old energy with every breath, a cycle of creation. Extraordinary that we do this every moment of every day. And as you continue to focus more deeply into the breath, I want you to become aware of the field that surrounds you, as we just talked about, the energy that you are, the energy, the field that extends way beyond the physicalness of who you are into the energy of who you are. And be aware of the enormity of that energy. It's important to feel into how extraordinary you actually are, how powerful, how unbelievably beautiful you actually are. Breathe into that as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Feel that. And now I want you to consciously, with this field in your presence, I want you to consciously call that field into your heart. Feel yourself pulling that amazing energy into the center of your heart space, all of that field. Just bring it in. Bring it into the heart. And as you do, feel the warmth and the tingly that happens as you feel that energy inside of your physical body. And we're doing this to just bring awareness to your interior experience. All of this process that we are experiencing, while it appears to be very external, is actually highly internal. It's all kind of designed in a way, if you could call it designed, but in a way that is about drawing you into self even more deeply, to find more clarity from within self, more clearly and more deeply. So feel that energy. Let that energy begin to roam around the inside of you. Just let it explore. Let it explore around in your head and your eye sockets and your sinus cavity. And reach in, and as you're focusing with your energy, and just ping your pituitary. Take a notice of the state of the state in your brain. This amazing organ sitting in fluid, just resting in this casing of bone. This incredible transmitter. And as you trace around and go down to the back of the skull and where the spine connects, and then you're aware and you let your consciousness travel through this extraordinary conductor of your spine that's just conducting powerful energy, that's embraced in this beautiful fluid and then encased in bone to keep this flow of powerful energy protected. And as we focus into that, you can begin to see the powerful energy that moves up and down that spine that's just coursing through you and animating you, and then moving through the nerves off of the spine into all of the organs and all of the systems and the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments and the blood vessels and all all that good stuff inside of you. And just for this moment, let that energy settle as you, in awareness of your entire being, the systems that are working together in harmony to allow you to be here in this physical reality, that allow you to be present as a physical being in this world. And just take in a moment of profound appreciation for all of those systems that work in harmony, and fill that space with love. Just be in a state of love and appreciation for those systems that are working for you every day. And let those systems continue to harmonize to your best advantage, to your best, to the best possibilities and potentials for you. And now focus even more intently into the heart space. As we focus our breath, we're going to be breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. We're going to do a counted breath process here just to, again, bring your awareness to the power of your breath, the power of consciously breathing. Because when you learn to consciously manage your breath, you learn to consciously manage your energy. They go hand in hand as you work with them. So we're going to breathe into a count of four. We're going to hold on that count of four. At the top, we're going to feel the fullness, and then we're going to consciously choose to release it all, surrendering it to a count of six on the exhale. And then at the bottom, resting in the emptiness, in the state of receptivity, in the state of allowing for the next moment when you re-engage the lungs. And here we go for the breath. So let's begin as we inhale to a count of four in through the nose, two, three, four, and then we're resting in that. The shoulders and neck are relaxed. You feel full and rich, and consciously now leaving that breath out, letting it go. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Rest in that emptiness, a little discomfort, but be there in that empty void space, ready to receive as you engage the lungs and inhale. Two, three, four, feel that energy building in the fullness and richness of the fullness, and relax into it, and then choose to release it as you surrender the breath. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Rest in that empty space, in that space of allowing where all possibility exists. And now consciously choose to engage the lungs again as you take in that next moment of creation, as you breathe in. Two, three, four, feeling all of that energy moving and coursing through every cell of your body. Feel the tingle throughout your body, and then let it go. Two, three, four, five, six, and then rest in the emptiness for just a moment, being aware that you are in total receptivity for the next moment, and allow yourself to continue the rhythm of the breath on your own as you inhale. Feel the fullness of the richness of that breath as it fills your body. And allow yourself to feel that fullness. Allow yourself to relax into that fullness without attachment, without intensity, just being full as you surrender it now. And say, look, I can let this go just as easily as I created it. As you surrender and let the breath go, letting it take you down to that completely empty space, being an empty vessel prepared for and ready for and allowing whatever is next for you, whatever the creation comes from. And as you continue this rhythm a couple more times, take these words in and let them wash over you. Let them penetrate that experience. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, and I engage. I am. Feel that. Breathe it in. Be that experience. And recognize that as you breathe, as you cycle the breath, you are in creation continually. Be aware that it's all connected. And gently bring yourself present to our conversation as I bring Shelley back into the fold here as we begin our conversation in earnest to dive into this topic, reintegration, reimagining, rebirth. And we are back.
Hey, that was awesome. Hey. I opened my eyes a little early because one time I was on the show and I was out in La La Land. Yeah, and I was still out in La La Land, but I called myself home. So here I am.
I had that. Oh, you're welcome. I had my Moshe, who does conversations with Moshe with me, was on, and I called him the other day because I try to give warning in the meditation to say, I'm coming back.
Yes. And hello, wake up.
He wasn't quite there yet. And I went to click and I went, oh, bing, and said, yeah, oops, sorry. Got to give you another minute. So funny.
Yeah, you have that way about you, Jim, that I guess, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I put people to sleep. Is that what?
No.
I'm so teasing. Teasing. So teasing. All right. Reintegration, reimagining, rebirth. I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about this kind of get right with self idea. Because what struck me as we were kind of ruminating about this is, getting right with self to me is kind of what we talked about at the beginning is we've had this opportunity via this pandemic and all the things that we've been experiencing to go inside, to really ultimately to isolate by ourselves in large capacity. And it gave us an opportunity to kind of get right with self. And what I mean by that is the ability to look at the things that we have taken for granted or the things that we have assumed in our lives are normal, are natural, are of course a part of the course of action. And then looking at the world unfold in the last year going, like none of that's true. Right. Like none of it's true. And seeing the underpinnings of what has built our culture and going, how did we last this long? And now, wow, what am I going to do? And that's where I think you and I will be helpful here is the question then becomes when you get to get right with self, it's like, well, what do I do? Because these problems look so big and so overwhelming and so like, how could we ever dig our way out of this? And I think that it's getting right with self is how we dig our way out of it. We begin to question and should be questioning the things that we think are normal that are really not, that are things we've been entrained into or things we've entrained ourselves into believing that we're not enough, we're not strong enough, we're not good enough, we don't have power, we can't change this. What am I going to do about my life now because everything out there doesn't look right? So if everything out there is messed up, how is my life going to be okay? So kind of lay the foundation for that. And so what are your thoughts in that area?
Wow, that was a big one. I hear you.
Take a big bite.
Bringing me right back into the planet. Yeah, you know, it is true. I think that when we look, like if we look at the media or we look at some of the things going on, I mean, it does feel very overwhelming. And I've been getting a lot of letters from people who are just practically trembling with fear and just anxiety and trauma, and they don't know what to do. And I feel like I do want to point out that the thing that we just did a minute ago, you know, taking the time to close our eyes just for a second and actually breathing in the moment and just forget all of that. It's simple to do. And yet when you're in the middle of feeling overwhelmed, it's very difficult sometimes to bring the conscious awareness to yourself and say, wait a minute, how am I feeling in this moment? And if I'm looking at media images or things that are upsetting, I mean, of course it's overwhelming. We don't know how we're going to handle all these problems. Then if we can at least bring the awareness to the fact that maybe we're not feeling that great right now, mm-hmm. we need to bring our awareness back inside, close our eyes for a minute and connect with our breath. Yeah. And then just realize that old saying about, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Just, you know, what can I do in this moment? So that we take our mind. We want to think about big issues and the fact that we need to move forward in certain areas, obviously, but we also have to bring our awareness into this moment. And I feel like how we shift the world into what we want to create has to be created moment by moment. Yeah. And it's created in the presence and in the feelings. And so if I'm all, you know, which believe me, I want to make sure everybody knows, yes, I'm like that too. Believe me. Yes. I was just like that yesterday. I feel like, how am I going to go out in public and still do Zooming and all the other things? So if I'm aware that I'm hyperactive, which I'm not always, thank you. But mm-hmm. if I can get into the awareness, like what you've just shown us again today, mm-hmm. just sit still. It doesn't have to take a long time.
Right.
1 minute of closing our eyes and just breathing again can bring us back into, okay, all these things need to be done. What's the first thing I need to do? What's the next thing? And I get laboring about, well, maybe I'm not doing them in the right order. And, you know, I can get very analytical and it's not productive. So believe me, friends, you know, just do the best you can, you know, that's all we can do. But just what you've done for us here this morning, if we can remind people to do that kind of an exercise every day or just for a minute, that would be a good beginning, I think.
I agree. And I'm so glad you focused into that because, you know, even in my personal experience, I think we don't always recognize when something is impacting us in a negative way because we're so used to experiencing that feeling. So, for instance, as Shelley was talking about, you know, you happen to be seeing the news or you're seeing a news story or whatever. And I dial in because I want to kind of get a sense of what's going on. I want to know what's happening in the world. But there is a fine line where I'll be engaged and I'll go from being in a really good place to being in a not really good place that fast. And I'm like sitting on the couch going, what just happened? Why do I feel like this? And I finally made the connection that fear spin is affecting my experience. And I'm a human being. So it doesn't matter. There are words, there are thoughts, you know, there are things that affect my energy, but the point of it is not to get mired in that. It's the recognition that because I've built my practice, and when I say practice, I mean daily practice or meditative practice or whatever shifting experience that you do, as I'm sitting there feeling that, and it's getting yuckier and yuckier, there's a part of me now that says, Jim, get off the couch and go breathe. Jim, get off the couch and take a walk. Because now I need to, I've now maybe not taken it on in a major way, but I did take it on enough that I'm feeling it. And that means now I need to disengage from that experience. Otherwise it's going to color everything that comes next. And I've done that way too, where it becomes a rabbit hole. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll get up and I'll go do this, but I don't address the fact that I've taken on this new fear bubble or this new anxiety thing or, you know, in my field. Not that I'm feeling necessarily anxious, but I'm not feeling good. And then that goes to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And that's what you don't want to do. And I hope I made that make sense because, go ahead.
It makes total sense to me. And I guess I wanted to say, based on what you were saying, I used to be one of those that thought that, you know, watching the news was negative. And I've had periods of my life where I didn't even own a TV and stuff. But as I've gotten older, I realize, you know, we can't run away from it either. So I feel like a lot of people such as yourself and myself and many of your viewers, you know, we're very empathic. First of all, whether you're a sensitive person or not, you're a human being and we're all connected. We are part of a human family. So if you see something troubling on the news that's happened to your fellow beings, you're going to be affected. I don't care who you are. But if you're super sensitive, then like you said, all of a sudden you were fine and now you're practically crippled and can't do anything. That's how I used to be. I would just get so like, you know, bawling my head off or whatever it was about something I saw, then I'm not really able to be present. So over the years, I've kind of used different techniques such as breathing, such as imagining like bubbles of golden light around me so that I can watch that. And yet I can keep it kind of in a place where I can objectively react to it. And or if I still slip, which of course we all do, or else we wouldn't be on this big training ground called Earth, then, like you said, then I got to step away. I'm going to go stand outside, take a short walk, go breathe, do whatever I have to do to disengage. I don't want to hide from those things like I used to, though. I realize we need to know what's going on because we can't make changes unless we are accepting what is. That's kind of a Buddhist thing. But at the same time, if I'm crumpled in a heap, bawling my head off, then I'm not really going to be much help to anybody. And so I feel like, you know, we just have to get our own emotions. Not that we're not going to have emotions, obviously. Right. That's why we're here. But just, you know, try to calm ourselves and comfort ourselves. And I feel like when we show up around others in our environment, whether it's at the grocery store, or the gas pump, or people we know, if we're just a little calmer, a little more present than we were by doing a couple of tiny little practices like breathing, then we are already changing the world. We may not feel like that's making a big impact, but if I'm calmer and you're very upset today, then maybe I can help you more than if I'm also pitching a fit and you know, throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
I do. No, which I have done. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't be doing this, Jim, if I didn't already have problems over the years that I've had to address using the things that I teach. You know what I'm saying? So don't ever think that I'm saying anything about anyone else that I don't need to get the mirror out. And we all go through it because we're human beings.
And that's the coolest thing is it's really about sharing experience and, you know, we're not trying to sit here and proselytize about how wonderful we are and you need to catch up. This is like, guys, we've been there. We continue to go through this, but because of the way we've navigated our own experiences, we get the gift of being able to share those experiences in a way that we hope like this, all of the things that Shelley and I've been talking about is all about that get right with self piece. This is all about getting right with self because it's embracing who you truly are, and who you truly are is a being of love. And while that sounds kind of woo-woo, and we're going to get into this a little more further when we get to the exercises, it's something that I think is profoundly important to understand. We are energy. We are energy. And so everything we bring to the table is energy, and everything coming to us is energy. So if we begin to interact with that, part of the success of that interaction is learning how to be that observer. And recognizing that the emotional content is just informing you of what you need, what you could pay attention to, what is maybe not in alignment right now. You know, if you're having that negative energy experience, that's telling you, hey, I need to make a shift. So that's where you go in and you go, okay, how can I shift this? And so you build tools and ways to do that. And it isn't always the same. You don't necessarily have to sit in a quiet room. Everybody has, you know, my buddy downstairs yesterday comes back after having run 28 miles.
Wow.
Because
that won't be my strategy.
No, my strategy either, but it works for him.
Yes.
It's the way he throws off and it takes him into a Zen place that he is completely in his bubble of self. And then he can see things in an objective fashion and begin to address them without them coming down on him. And it's still a struggle because we're still dealing with our individual entrainment processes, our individual, how we were brought up and how what we learned and the things that we incorporated. And so now I'm, in my 50s and having to review how important is this? I was in a conversation in the course of like 5 minutes, I said two things that were not based in any reality that I ever experienced. And I had to stop and go, why did you just say that? It was a comment about, one of them was a comment about, I don't remember what it was now. It'll come back to me, but it was just a conversation and I made a comment about it as if I had had personal experience with it and then realized that I'd just done that and went, that's pretty funny because I've never had a personal experience with that. So that's my opinion. And I just dispute my opinion for no reason because I have no experience with what I just said. And that's part of that getting right with self. It's calling myself on my silliness when I step in, when I put my foot in it, saying, let me take my foot out of there. Tell the truth about what I don't know, as much as I try to tell the truth about what I do know.
But I hear you. That's all I can say. And the other thing you reminded me of, though, speaking of your friend who likes to run 28 miles, I think one of the other stressors is that if we did have ways that we used to cope with stress, like I used to go to the gym. That's how I'd spend several hours in the morning in the gym, kind of getting myself prepared for the day.
Yeah.
But then we didn't have a gym during the pandemic or whatever. There might be other things that viewers out there used to do. They weren't able to do it last year that they used to get that comfort from. And so then part of what we're like grieving and trying to recreate about ourselves is, okay, how am I going to find comfort when the thing that I used to go do to give comfort is no longer available? And we have to reinvent ourselves and now they're available again. So do I even want to do that anymore? Like you said, it's a constant reevaluation. And the other thing that you brought to my mind again is, I think this is also very difficult, all of this, because sometimes when you're in what I call an unproductive state, you're in such an unproductive state that you don't realize you're in one.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a certain degree of, whoa, wait a minute, I'm acting like an idiot, or why am I doing this? Or why am I clenching my fists or gritting my teeth or whatever it is? It takes an awareness of self that sometimes I feel like it's very hard to, we don't understand ourselves, it's very hard to get into self-understanding. That's a lifelong journey. And so just bringing conscious awareness, again, though, that's easier said than done sometimes. So that's kind of the first step.
Yeah, sometimes it just feels hard, and sometimes it's just reaching for. And again, that's I think the importance of this as we reintegrate and some of the things that Shelley was saying about picking and choosing what it is that and being conscious of those choices of what you do and the habits that you build to help you be successful with navigating this. Because there are times, you know, I thank goodness for people like Shelley and other people in my life that I know, you know, when if it gets too much that I can pick up a phone and talk about it so that I get it out of here and get it here again, objectifying the experience enough so that I can get distance and go, okay, yeah, this doesn't feel good. And oh, that's where I'm sourcing this from. Or, oh, I'm really hung up on this thing that I didn't realize I was hung up on because I got to move it out of here. So however you do that, sometimes it doesn't work for me to do it alone. Sometimes I've hit something too big that I can't get outside of. So I'm blessed and grateful that there is that one or two people in my life that I know I can go to bounce it, you know, that I can put it outside and talk about it and not put a lot of energy into it, but just get perspective. Again, getting a different viewpoint of it so that I can begin to build something new rather than continuing to create the same old stuff.
Yeah, it's such a good point. Like sometimes, you know, just talking to your best friend about it can be good, but sometimes maybe they're too close to you. Maybe you need an outside source, or you could just write a letter that never gets sent. Thank you very much.
Another beautiful way to do it.
Then burn it or crumple it and get rid of it. Yeah, because sometimes there's a word salad going on in here and you're going, what the heck is this? Where are these thoughts coming from?
What is the deal? All right, we're going to take a quick break. And on this particular break, we're just going to shift here and it's going to become the Shelley show for just a minute. I'll give Shelley a few minutes here to talk about all the good things she has going on in her world and give you a chance to meet her up close and personal. So I'm going to disappear for a second. I'm going to turn it over to the past life lady and Shelley, we'll see you in a couple minutes.
Awesome. All right. So I just want to thank Jim again. And also, Jim, congratulations on your book award. So I've had a couple of books coming out from Llewellyn Worldwide that seem to be kind of topical to what we're speaking about today. The first one is called Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories. This one actually talks about clients who were experiencing deep instances of anxiety, depression, and trauma, and used the modality of past life regression and breathing exercises and some of the things that Jim is so wonderful about sharing to help them, you know, make sense of this wacky world that we're living in. And my other one is Past Lives with Pets, which just won the Silver Award in the Coalition of Visionary Resources. So what this is, it's pieces of my client case histories where they accidentally go into a past life and discover, guess what? They knew Fido in a past life. Because believe it or not, your pets are your soulmates. And so when we lose our pets, of course, that's very, very devastating. And so the book also has some grief recovery journeys for pets. And then my latest one that came out March of 2021 is Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life, where we actually go back instead of into our own past lives, we're going to go back into traumatizing normally events that happened to our ancestors. And we're going to send love, light, and healing to ancestors because we're connected to them. And by loving them, we're actually loving ourselves. And we can send that light to all family members, past, present, and future. And then in December, I've got Blessed from the Past. When spontaneous past life memories are bombarding you, you need regression for healing rather than for discovering where you've lived in the past. That's it.
When I grow up, I want to be like you. I want to do that. I apologize. I didn't realize I did put up the Ancestors book. And when I tried to grab the other one just now, it was in a format that I had to change it and didn't have time.
But, don't worry about it.
But there's Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life. Check it out on our website, Past Life Lady. It's all there. And Shelley also has a wonderful show called Healing Arts, which are you still doing Healing Arts?
Oh, yes. And Jim has been a wonderful guest on Healing Arts, as you can imagine.
It's a good show. Excellent time. So good. So there's Shelley. Check out Shelley at pastlifelady.com. I recently had a very dear friend who had a session with Shelley and could not rave enough about how amazing your energy is and how safe she felt in the process and how powerfully you were able to help her kind of navigate through some things. So I highly recommend her.
Thank you.
So let's do that. Okay. I'm sorry, I got carried away in my buttons again. Here we go. You are the creator. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about this focus. And as you're reimagining, as you're, and this is an important part of I think this reintegration process, as we've talked about, you are the creator. And hopefully that this time, particularly within the last year, has helped you to see more clearly how that's the case and how you can see things that are happening in the world, but you don't have to make them yours. So for instance, for years and years, I've always said this, that the person who was in the position of the president in our country was always interesting, but it never seemed to really affect me personally. Like it was always, that's not, you know, he's doing his thing and the government's doing their thing. And then over time, and especially over these last few years, some of that's altered a little bit. But the reality of it is, while the show is going on and the show seems to be weird and ugly and out of range, you know, just kind of craziness in every direction, this has affected us, not because more of the pandemic has affected us than that has affected us. But I still want to point out that we are the creator of our world here. So we're seeing all the craziness, but the craziness is happening outside of self. And if we choose to pull it in and incorporate it into this reintegration process, into this reimagining process, then we're not changing anything. We're bringing back the same old energy. And I think to me, that's what this whole period is about, is that that's not really where we get to go anymore. And I think that's kind of creating challenges for people as well, because they kind of want to recreate what was, and it isn't there anymore. It just simply isn't there anymore. And so the reimagining becomes monumentally important, because now you have the opportunity to make the shifts and changes that you want to make, or that you've always desired to make, or that you didn't really know you needed to make, because you're paying attention to how you're feeling, what you're experiencing, energy up or energy down. You know, is this helping me move forward, or is this dragging me down into the abyss? And if it is, then I don't want to put attention there. I want to put attention to things that are going to take me soaring. What are your thoughts about that? That was a lot, but.
That's what I like about you, Jim, because we get into these real cerebral places, which I like. So, but yeah, I agree with you that like we're looking at external stimuli. And as you've said, to your point, yes, we can choose. We need to be aware of these things. We understand change needs to happen and we need to start embracing it. Hello. And yet we don't need to take it on to the point that we're just crippled and we can't get up, because we're not going to be doing anyone any good if we're too, you know, bogged down emotionally by that. Just thinking about what is my little part that I can play. The first part we can all play is by trying to the best of our ability, and again, not easy, to turn the attention to ourselves just for a second and say, how am I feeling right now? Is it a good feeling or a bad feeling? And if it's a bad feeling, what do I need to do to get myself into a more productive state? By breathing, by closing my eyes for a second, and then go out and think about how I can engage with the challenges of the world, but do it from that productive place, not from that, you know, we're having a fire sale and we're panicking place.
Yes.
And again, hard to do, but just how am I feeling? That should be a question we should all be asking ourselves.
Yeah. I want to take just a quick second to address the hard to do part, because what strikes me, at least in my own personal experience, is the challenge of it is the feeling of it. It isn't necessarily that making choices are challenging. It is that when your belief systems that don't serve anymore show up in such a profound way, it causes this intensity, this sort of intensity, but heaviness, but it's like on you. And the on you part is, I got lost in myself there.
I think what you're about to tell me is that we can tell ourselves that it's hard, and yet, like I just said, but we could just remember what we did at the beginning of the show. Was that hard? No, that was very easy. So it's just a matter of shifting. Would it be okay for me to shut my eyes for 10 seconds and breathe and then understand, wait a minute, that was kind of easy. and I can get myself into a better place in just a couple, in a nanosecond, and that could be then become easy. And then I show up as a more calm human being to my fellow beings, maybe. Yes. Maybe that's where you were going. I don't know.
Yeah, and it was. And another piece of that is recognizing that this element of sameness equals safety. So the mind, the ego, is dedicated to sameness, because sameness is what woke you, what got you to wake up today. Sameness is what got you through the day. Sameness is why you're doing what you continue to do. The sameness is what hurts. The sameness is what's not feeling good, because the ego is saying, you're trying to change things that shouldn't be changed because we were safe the way we were. We were safe. We could live this way. But the world has completely changed, and the ego has no relationship to that or even comprehension of that. And so what you're feeling that doesn't feel good is the ego that you've given the power to, that's saying, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. And your capital S self is calling you forward. And it's that moment of being able to recognize the duality and saying, okay, I hear you, but that's not what we do anymore. I hear you, but we don't need to feel that way anymore. I hear you, and take steps toward moving to something better, something high, you know, something that spins your energy up. So that's part of it. That was the part I was trying to get to without being too cerebral.
But yeah, you're right. Like, even this idea, like, we were forced to stay inside and now we're being asked to go back outside. So there's part of us that goes, wait a minute, you can't go outside. You can't stop those Zoom calls, you know? And then yet, because again, this is a big change as we reintegrate. We're going to maybe, like what I'm trying to do, both. Is there a both? But that's never happened for me before. It's never happened for you before. This is all a brave new world. Yes. But if we think about our lives, which I try to do as an adventure, that why would we want to know everything that's going to happen every minute of every day? It would be a complete drag and no one would want to do anything. So think of it as, oh, this is so exciting. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Because you know what I'm talking about. There are things that have been going on in this world. You just can't even believe this could actually be happening. So be fascinated by that and then say, how can I help? How can I move this thing where we want it to go by bringing that awareness, like what Jim's talking about? Yeah. Into the breath, and then just being that calm person who shows up, and we're not overwhelmed, we're fascinated. It's awesome.
Yep. And that's the truth. And it's a beautiful way to see it. So we're going to leave it right there. I know I have a quick segment here. Do we have, if we can, if you don't feel like we have enough time to dive into this a little bit, I'm okay with that. Because I put it toward the end here as we want to get into talking about, a couple of exercises potentially, or some focuses that we can help people with to kind of bring their center together. So releasing the ties that bind, kind of getting into that ancestral healing piece, which I think is another important part of what we've gotten to deal with in this time frame. And since that is your area of expertise, if there's anything you would love to share about that, I would love that.
The gist of the book and the exercises that are in it, there's tons of exercises, but the fact is that real scientists are proving that up to 50% of your personality is actually brought through from your ancestors. And so believe it or not, we need to focus on not only thinking about just our daily lives and our own healing, but just blessing those ancestors. And that's part of certain cultures. It's not really part of the Western culture, but it only takes a second, just like what we did earlier in this show. Just close our eyes and just imagine that we can send light back to our parents, to our siblings, to our grandparents, great-grandparents, and just imagine we can project that love back through time. And then we start to feel that as those things start to loosen up and become more healed, then we become more filled with light because we are connected to those people, and that light can move out into the future. And it's just a very quick shift of consciousness.
Yeah, and it's understanding that each of us has the power to shift these ancestral lines, and some of this stuff is that we're carrying around is stuff that we're working out through our ancestry. So that when we get to the release point, when we find that, it's letting go all the way back, and everybody, all of those energies are getting the release from that, as well as what we're getting to, and that we have the strength to do that. That's why we get the opportunity. We have the ability, we have the strength, we have the tools. It's now focusing that so that we can create that incredible release and freedom for all of us. Absolutely. So on the daily, as we wrap up our show today, I want to talk a little bit about tools, if we could. One of the things that I have been working with lately that has been really profoundly affecting me is the use of working. I talked about this earlier, is working with the energy of love. And for the longest time, honest to God, that to me was like, really, you know, can we get a little, you know, unicorns and rainbows, and that's nice. And that's really sweet, but let's get practical. You know, and come to find out, love is pretty damn practical. hard to believe, but I'm like,
Simple. It's difficult.
It's so simple. So here's what I do on a daily. I found that using this energy has made a huge difference for me. And it's very simple. As I do the breathing that we talked about, in through the nose and out through the mouth, I get myself centered into my breath, into the center of my heart space. And then I consciously say out loud in my meditative process, I radiate and emanate the energy of pure, unconditional love from the spark of the divine that animates this being in the center of my heart. I radiate and emanate the energy of pure love. And I breathe that. And I feel that in my moment, I'm radiating the energy of pure love. And as I breathe that energy and as I radiate that energy of pure love, it expands into my field and saturates my field in pure, unconditional love, illuminated by the light of loving kindness. And I sit in that and bathe in that energy and feel the healing of that energy. And I hold that energy in space, because what happens is that as I share my energy, it moves through that love orb. And as energy comes to me, it transfers through that love orb. So I'm creating this space of love all around me, that everything that comes to me and through me is somehow touched by love. And then once I feel into that and I'm in that space and I'm feeling that radiant energy, my next step is to appreciate that I am well. I appreciate that I am happy, and I appreciate that I am free from suffering. That's from the Mata Bravna. I appreciate that. I say that three times. I have a thing about threes. I say that three times, each time in more intention and more passion. And then as I sit into that bubble, then I expand the bubble, and I expand it to include my community, and I saturate my community in that love. And then I, from the center of my heart to the hearts of all sentient beings within the sphere of that orb, I share my spark of love with them and ask them to integrate it, to let it ignite the fire in their soul. And then that expands again, and I expand it around the country, and then I expand it again, and I embrace the entire planet, each time radiating that love from my heart to the hearts of all sentient beings within the sphere of my influence. And then you also can use that, and I've used this, and I don't have time to get into it. I did it on another show, but I've used this also for people that I notice as I think about things, as I experience things. If I have a negative experience, then I put that person in my love. If I'm having a struggle with someone, I bring those people together in my love orb, and I just radiate and emanate that energy and say the same thing. May you all be well, may you all be happy, and may you all be free from suffering. And I say that three times and I let it go. And it has literally transformed relationships that I thought were over. I'm goosebumps head to toe, top to bottom. Anyway, profound exercise. And I encourage you, and I hope that was clear enough in how you can navigate that, but you can always rewind and listen to it again. So that's the thing I'm currently using that helps me to stay centered, and it gives me a sense of purpose, because I'm sharing actively the energy of love. I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if I'm doing it correctly. What I know is how it feels, and it feels freaking amazing. And it makes me feel like I am on top of the world, because I get to do that. It's remarkable that even 3 years ago, that was not a thought that I could entertain, because I couldn't wrap myself around it. I thought it was too much, or it was too crazy, or too silly. And now to be there, that's the work. I didn't realize I was going to get emotional.
That means it's working. I love it.
It's just working. So Shel, you get the last word here. I'd love for you to share something, if you have anything that you'd like to, as far as an exercise or a focus that people can have to help them.
Jim, you are wonderful. Thank you for everything you do to help people and just for really putting yourself out there, because you're doing the work. That's the whole point. And it's wonderful.
Thank you.
And I agree with you. I mean, it doesn't matter whether is it right or is it wrong? All the things I do, it's just the things that you discover on your path that are helping you. And then you think, well, maybe I'll tell somebody about it. And then it starts to help other people. I mean, that's how it works. And that's how you're doing it. So two quick things based on similar to what you're doing. I have a mantra that I've said for many years. I am healthy body, mind, and spirit. And yeah, I love three times. I'm healthy body, mind, and spirit. I am healthy body, mind, and spirit. Sometimes I'll feel that and it'll start shifting the cells in the body. And I just try to imagine that if there's any imbalances, those are getting straightened out. And then the other most profound thing that's in all of my books, but again, it's so simple. We can do it right now. Whatever it is that's troubling you, you can imagine it's sitting here outside of yourself. There's an energetic cord coming from the solar plexus area, connecting you to this thing, an angel or a guide, or even no one. Let's just cut the cords whoosh, and just imagine a loving light washing over that, healing you. And blessing and releasing attachments, energetic attachments to things, it starts to bring real energy back to you. And if you're having challenges with other people, sometimes when you cut the cord and send love and light to them, you've healed the part of you that's them. That's kind of one way to put that. And so sometimes those people, you hadn't talked to them for 10 years, they'll call you or they'll send you an email and you'll be like, oh my gosh. You know, like you say, you'd be like, whoa, I never thought I'd hear from this person again. And now all of a sudden they're trying to reach out. That's because they get it and they're trying to reconnect with you. And then you can come together again with this new relationship that's of a higher frequency because you've blessed that, you've released the past, and you're just moving forward. And it's very, very powerful.
What an amazing way to end the show. Oh, take a deep breath. Guys, thank you all for being here. Shelley, I every time I'm just overjoyed at our time together. I so enjoy your company.
Me too.
Thank you for being here. Guys out there, thank you for being here. Have an amazing day. I hope these tools are helpful. Please let us know how you're feeling about it in the comments and things. And we'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth. Y'all have an amazing, amazing day. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.